time are those of Dave Glover and his guests and are not those of Northumberland 89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now your host, Dave Glover.
Yeah, good afternoon. Welcome back. Rob Washburn is here in studio with us now for our weekly rendition of Consider This Live. And, of course, we have representatives. I say of course because I mentioned it earlier. That's why I'm saying of course. Representatives of the Kawartha Pine Ridge District Health Unit. Kristen Chedorowski is here. Krista Skutovic and Nick Ogden, who are all here today to talk about Movember and also to talk about Man-Made Built to Last. Welcome to the studio, guys and gals.
Well, thank you for having us.
And thanks. Guys and gals and submarine racers. So how's the month been going? How's Movember been? Should I ask Nick first? He's got some no facial hair. What's going on with that?
Yeah,
Nick?
No. I don't really know why I get asked to join a team because I haven't hit puberty yet.
That used to happen to me all the time, but I didn't have puberty as an excuse, though. What's been going on? How's the month been? How's Movember?
Yeah, it's been going pretty good. We started the team up at Loyalist College in Belleville, and we got some students in the journalism program. I'm in the journalism program there. Got a bunch of students and some faculty to join it, and we set a goal at the beginning of the month. We thought, hey, you know, if we could hit $250, that would be really impressive. And to right now, we have just under $600. So
wow,
yeah, it's been
so
pretty
you've blown
impressive.
Past the 250.
Yeah, we set our goal low so that we can just impress ourselves even more.
Is that what that was?
Yeah,
you're not like the miners who say I'm going to get 500 ounces this year and you only get two.
No, why set a high goal?
Why shoot for something? Right. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay.
Start low and you can only impress yourself and others.
If you don't set your choices, your goals too high, then you will achieve them. Maybe that's part of what,
exactly.
what you're talking about.
Exactly.
So still, though, that's good. That's a good race.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the month's not over yet.
No. So donate.
What kind of events did you have to raise the money? Or did you just count on people going, oh, I got a few bucks, here you go. Like, were you holding, did you have events? Did you have a dance?
We didn't have any events like that, but we had some other students in the journalism program take a more of an in-depth look on the history of Movember and why it was so important. And shortly after that story got published, we had more and more people donate. And from there, just, you know, word of mouth, people.
What was the big takeaway? I mean, for people that, is this the first time they may have heard about Movember and what it's all about? How has that been in terms of education?
Yeah, so like even from my point of view, this is the first time I really joined a Movember team to raise money for men's health and men's health awareness. And, you know, growing up, I always heard of Movember as the time to grow a funny mustache and that kind of stuff. And so being able to kind of take a more of an in-depth look at it, I realized, you know, awareness to men's health is so important. And it's not just, you know, you very often hear about, you know, health problems related to women and mm-hmm. men's health is just as equal to that. And so when I joined the team, I thought, you know, I'm a type 1 diabetic myself. That might not be the main focus for what Movember is, but it does relate to men's health. Mm-hmm. So why not try and put the effort in? And it's really been beneficial.
Is men's health something that people just, men aren't ignoring? I mean, you're a young guy.
Mm-hmm.
You're what I would call in the Superman time of your life where nothing can hurt you. You're impervious.
That's a lie.
Right?
That's a lie.
Is that something that you're finding, though, other guys in your age group are saying, oh, I'll... This is something I don't have to worry about till I'm in my 50s.
More often than not, yeah. But now as I enter my 20s, I hear more and more people talking about preventative measures that they can take before it's too late. And you know, especially in my situation, I try to surround myself with people that just don't care, or that people that don't care about themselves. I try to associate myself with people who do take the time and effort to put the work in to take care of themselves for the future, so they're not struggling down the road.
Wow. Does that make you an anomaly?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, good. So, I'm happy to hear that.
So maybe this is a good time to sort of say, well, what is Movember and what's it all about? Maybe, Krista, you could help us better understand from a public health point of view, what is Movember and why is it significant?
So Movember started off actually in Australia. Now it has worldwide attention with a ton of countries and different groups involved, and started with the attention specifically on prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. But it's actually grown to be an initiative really to focus on men's health overall. So proceeds raised from Movember get spread out to a number of different men's health initiatives all over the country. But still often we focus on cancer, and a lot of the money raised does go to cancer prevention and prostate cancer groups as well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, any attention, like Nick said, that can be brought to men's health, because there is a lot of attention on other disease-specific things, or like breast cancer, for instance, has had a ton of support, media attention, mm-hmm. a lot of publicity around it. And Movember is attempting to do that for men's health.
Even that in of itself, though, is something that sort of really started peaking about 15 or 20 years ago. Before that, just like men's health, it wasn't something that people were talking about. You know, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that cancer now affects 1 in 3 when it used to affect 1 in 100.
Yeah, and you know what? It's actually more than that. Now in Ontario, 1 in 4 of us, if you're an Ontarian, will die of cancer, and 1 in 2 of us, that's the stat, will develop some sort of cancer over our lifetime. So we're talking half of us, and men and women, depending on individual risk factors, environmental causes, there's a number of things, you know, that all increase your cancer risk, and it's different for every one of us. But there's some common things that we all do, both sexes, that can increase your risk of getting cancer. And, you know, at the health unit, some of our messaging, and including this current Man-Made Built to Last contest, all ties in with the Movember theme. If you go to the Movember website, actually in Canada, they've issued a 30-day activity challenge. So, you know, and that is one of the behaviors that can help you reduce your risk of cancer is getting more active. So Movember puts a focus on that by challenging young guys to get more active and challenging all men to get more active. So at the health unit, we're actually in the middle of a Man-Made Built to Last contest. So I know, Dave, we've talked about this on air before. So it encourages young guys to get involved and show us how they can be healthy. We have a photo contest on our Facebook page. So it's facebook.com/manmadebuilttolast, the number 2. So if you search that on Facebook, if you're between 19 and 29 and you live in our health unit region, so Northumberland County, City of Cortha Lakes, or Haliburton, you can enter there to win monthly prizes. And so we've already gone through our Drink Less Alcohol photo challenge in October. Right. This month's theme matches up with the Movember physical activity mm-hmm. challenge. So we're challenging young guys 19 to 29 to post photos on our Facebook page of them being active. Next month's theme will be Eat Your Fruits and Veggies. So we're looking for pictures of that from guys 19 to 29 in our area. And going on into the winter, too, with two other behaviors that we know contribute to cancer risk, be tobacco-free, so trying to reduce your tobacco habits or get rid of them. January is a great time. A lot of people make those efforts, and there's a lot of other incentives, provincial contests, things you can win, sign up for if you start a quit attempt then. And then we end our Man-Made Built to Last photo contest on Facebook in February with Be Sun Smart. So we're challenging guys to submit photos on the Facebook page for a chance to win good prizes, and it's for local guys. So really trying to make this local and encourage guys 19 to 29 to take part and win some cool stuff.
What is the focus on demographics so important? You mentioned a certain demographic that you're aiming to for this campaign. Can we get an idea, maybe on a larger perspective, Kristen, about what are some of the issues for each of the demographics, middle-aged, older men? Can you maybe elaborate upon what sort of challenges they face?
Okay, well, in general, the most common causes of death for men is cancer, heart disease, and accidents. However, a bit of a difference between younger guys and older guys is the suicide. So that's definitely something that stands out. And that also fits in with some of our you know, health promoting topics that we're covering, especially the physical activity. So that is something that is very helpful for mental health, getting out there and getting exercise, at least 150 minutes a week.
How so? Why is that so important?
Studies show that physical activity is very helpful for, you know, promoting good mental health. It's just the related, I'm not really sure.
Good healthy activities lead to production of endorphins, perhaps, in the brain, makes it feel nicer, I guess.
Well, yeah.
I don't know, happiness, happy thoughts.
Physical activity is one of those things that, you know, there's so many benefits from it. It's, you know, can be used for to help in treatment of things, but most importantly, to prevent a huge, long list mm-hmm. of diseases and conditions. But actually, there's four key risk factors that contribute to chronic diseases. And chronic diseases, so cancer, heart disease, some of the things that Kristen mentioned there in the top list of reasons men die. The four risk factors really contribute to the bulk of chronic diseases. And those are unhealthy eating, physical activity, harmful use of alcohol, and tobacco use. So those four things, if we can start to tackle those as individuals, you know, try to improve little bits at a time, those four behaviors, then you're doing a lot to reduce your risk of cancer and a ton of other things. You know, we can't ignore other community impacts, your environment, where you work, you know, health policies, access to resources, your level of income, all those things affect your health as well. But when we're talking about what you can do individually, if you could try to address those four major risk factors, things you can do, you know, related to diet, your physical activity, tobacco, and alcohol, mm-hmm. you are taking a major step in the right direction to reducing your risk for a whole host of diseases and conditions. And men especially are actually the worst offenders compared to women when you look at most of those behaviors. So tobacco use, higher among men. Alcohol consumption, higher among men. And actually sun safety practices too. So men, particularly young men, and that's one of the reasons for targeting them, as you said, Rob, in this Man-Made Built to Last campaign, they spend the most leisure time in the sun and most likely to go unprotected. And skin cancers are on the rise. That's one of the significant numbers that contribute, or one of the significant things that contributes to the high rates of cancer, the skin cancer rate rising. So those four things that we said before, the alcohol, the tobacco, the eating healthy, being and add the being sun smart in there, those five things for young guys are the five things you can do. Try to address anyway in little bits along the way as you get older to prevent a whole host of things later on in life.
Well, that's our first break. We're going to be right back with Nick Ogden, Kristen Chedorowski, and Krista Skutovic in just a few more minutes. We're going to be talking about men's health when Rob Washburn is here as well for our weekly installment of Consider This Live on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7. We will be right back.
I'm Laurie Stevenson, and you should be listening to The Search. What excites me is when magic happens in music. Sometimes it's live in concert, sometimes it's a carefully crafted concept album, and most especially, it's local music. Listen to what's exciting me right now on The Search, Sunday afternoons at 2 p.m. on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
As the days get shorter and the weather grows colder, are you prepared for the unexpected while you're on the road? Emergencies affect everyone, but for individuals requiring assistance while traveling in a motor vehicle, the emergency can be much greater. Be prepared, not scared. Everyone could take steps to being better prepared while traveling along our roadways. For information on how to build an emergency car kit, visit the County of Northumberland's website at northumberlandcounty.ca or follow them on Facebook. Remember, your preparedness helps us all. This message from the Community Emergency Managers of Northumberland County.
Missed your favorite program on Northumberland 89.7? Don't worry, you can catch up on news, events, and missed shows on our website at northumberland897.ca.
And welcome back to the big broadcast. With us in studio are representatives from the Kawartha Pinerange District Health Unit, Nick Ogden, who is from Loyalist College, Kristen Chedorowski, and Krista Skutovic is here. Rob Washburn, you have the next question, sir.
Oh, thanks so much. I was really curious. You started talking about eating healthy, and Nick, I want to know, amongst your friends, I know young men, you know, we always were protein eaters, you know, have a big steak and a baked potato and, mm-hmm. you know, forget the salad and give me a beer and I'm a happy man. How about you and your peers? What sort of patterns do you notice in terms of healthy eating?
Well, in a college setting, I definitely notice more that people are you know, more frequent to just buy their lunch, especially at the school. You know, mm-hmm. you have options like Subway, we got pizza, we got, you know, burgers, that kind of stuff, Tim Hortons. And yeah, some of that stuff like Subway might be considered, oh, it's one of the healthier fast foods. But, you know, if you eat it every day, it adds up, right? So, you know, just kind of talking about from my point of view, I started college a couple of years ago, and I used to eat my lunch at school every day as far as I would buy my lunch. And I noticed that by the end of first year, I'd put on like 10 to 15 pounds, and I was very unhappy with it, especially trying to manage my own, you know, kind of body and my healthy eating style and all that kind of stuff. And I started packing my lunch every day, and I noticed that I feel better, and I've lost a little bit of weight, and I haven't lost as much as I want, but I've lost a little bit. But still, a lot of my friends are saying, oh, I forgot my lunch. It seems like they're kind of using the next thing as an excuse to just, oh, I can eat this. Oh, I smell that in the air. I'm going to go get that now. And it just seems like more and more people need to take the time to think the day before what they're going to eat the next day.
So Krista, what sort of advice do you offer people like Nick and his friends or other men in terms of trying to develop good eating habits?
Well, one of the main ones for guys, especially when it comes to cancer prevention, when we're talking about Movember and men's health, is really to try to focus on increasing their fruit and vegetable intake. Eating just 5 servings a day has been shown to reduce your cancer risk. Canada's Food Guide recommends 8. So we try to get you up to 8, but hey, even if you get 5, you're doing great. And so that's the main message, to try to incorporate fruits and veggies. Get creative with it. Try to, you know, put extra fruits and extra veggies, some fruits, on pizza toppings. Work it into meals. Make it a bigger part of your plate. If you look at your plate, try to do half of your plate at least with fruits and veggies. Mm-hmm. But look online. There's creative ways to put them in different recipes. And be critical when you go to a restaurant. You know, think about what's going on your food. What could be the healthier option on a menu? And, you know, ask the questions you need to ask about what's going in your food. Just, you know, how much sodium's in there, you know, how much fat. And don't get too technical if you don't worry about the details. But if you just try to increase the fruit and veggie intake, that's the biggest take-home message, mm-hmm. For improving your diet for sure.
Well, we saw, I mean, I guess almost 10 years ago now when the Super Size movie came out. And that guy was eating McDonald's, but the same could be said with just eating fast food in general on a consistent basis. I mean, it is going to affect your health. You mentioned how it made you feel a little less energetic,
yeah,
perhaps.
For sure.
I mean, a lot of that has to do with the high amount of sodium. Do you find that films like that, which expose that as something that is detrimental to your health, both short and long term, has that had an impact, you think, on how men in particular are feeding themselves?
That movie in particular, you know, that highlighted a serious issue with more people taking advantage of sort of the fast food culture and, mm-hmm. you know, eating in your car, eating at your desk, going on quickly, not taking the time to think about what you're eating or plan for it. So yes, it brings attention to the issue. Great. Some people think too that you know that it costs more to eat healthy. Not always. If you plan ahead, you know some of the raw foods you could have for snacks or as part of meals are actually cheaper and easier to access than some fast foods. But a lot of stuff comes into play. Right, you might not have access to fresh and healthy foods mm-hmm. in your neighborhood. You know, if you don't have that kind of stuff close to you or on your college campus, you know, then that impacts what you're going to choose. So there's other environmental things and policies. You know, at a college or a workplace or something mm-hmm. like that can all influence how you're going to get those healthier foods into your diet regularly.
Should colleges then be saying, you know, we need to bring in healthy choices? I mean, I know at Loyalist, you know, your choice of whatever fast food is being sold there. But what is the emphasis from the college's perspective on the healthy approach? Is there an angle from the college perspective or are they just relying on the fact that bringing in those fast food providers actually saves them money, right?
Yeah, and it's hard for colleges and university institutions like that because they often make money from the businesses selling the Pepsi and the Coke, and you know they get sponsorships for sports teams and that sort of thing. But in the best interest of their students, you know, short term and long term health is to try to make policy decisions and environment decisions that have to do with focusing on health and realizing the impact of that. So, but there's actually been recent movements to have legislation and law around those things. So we've seen in public schools, you know, there are rules around what can be served and what can't be served there, and daycares too. And that stuff slowly but surely is getting more attention and, you know, becoming more serious, because when all these things are so impactful on the reasons people get sick and the reasons people die, you know, people start to pay attention to what can we do to prevent this upstream instead of waiting until the bad stuff at the end of the line.
One of the things that I always find interesting is what motivates people to make the changes. I mean, we can sit here and you can say this is what we should be doing, but it's actually getting people to do it is always the critical piece in the puzzle. Mm-hmm. What have you found out through your research and through your work are the main motivators that get people to make these critical lifestyle changes so that they do things? Because we can't always depend on institutions or just good advice.
And we can't wait for a health crisis, right? Because from my experience, that really has been the big motivator. Oh, my God, I didn't realize this stuff was killing me. But now that I know, I can make those changes. Is that to answer Rob's question, the leading cause for those types of changes?
Well, sometimes it's a transition point in life. I know, Rob, looking at some of the stuff that you've posted on your site, it's sometimes, you know, when you get to university, okay, maybe your diet goes downhill, maybe your physical activity level goes up. And then when you move, you know, to a different place, you're off campus, you have motivation to do something different there. When you have kids, that's a big transition time too, that maybe you're more focused on what kind of foods are coming in your house and you're feeding your kids, and you can, you know, increase your uptake there. But motivation is a personal thing. A lot of it has to do with your social support and other people around you, what they're doing and the influences of that. The media, huge. But also the decisions that are made by, you know, by school boards, by workplaces, by your government, by politicians, about your access to these things and ensuring, low cost access to healthy foods in your neighborhoods. But when it comes to motivation, you know, personally, it's an individual thing. Lots of things could be a trigger for one person that's not for another. And, you know, a good motivator for one might not be for another. Smoking is a good example too. You know, you may know somebody that died of a cancer related to their smoking, or
some other health ailment related, emphysema, or
and there's
COPD.
Your trigger. You know, and there's your motivator to stop doing that. So it's varied motivator for that, but there's lots of reasons people do it. Lots of excuses people use, but also lots of great reasons that people actually go out and make the effort to do it.
But what about these cultural influences? I mean, one of the things about being young, and maybe Nick can talk to this as well, is you go to university or you're a guy, so you have to drink heavy. You can't just go out and have a beer, or you can't just have one glass of wine. You got to drink heavy because that's what guys do. We drink the hard liquor, and, you know, we can't have one beer. They're like, what is it, the potato chips, right? Got to have lots. What is going there on there in terms of cultural influences, and what sort of a role does it play? Maybe Nick, you can talk a bit about it just from the college perspective.
Yeah, I was never a huge, like, for your example that you bring up with like drinking, for example, I was never a big drinker. But then in my first year of college, I was, you know, hanging out with a different crowd than I ever hung out with in my high school and that kind of stuff. And of course, the social thing to do in college or in university is to get together and have a couple drinks. But you're exactly right. It was never, oh, who can have one drink and then be fine. It's who can have the most before, you know, the blackout happens.
And maybe, Kristen, I know you're a student as well. Maybe you could talk a bit about this as well.
Sure. Well, like you mentioned, it's totally a thing for people to binge drink. And it is very hard to avoid it. Like, there's a lot of pressure there. And even, you know, a lot of people turn to alcohol as a way to sort of deal with their stressors, even though there's, you know, tons of other healthy ways to deal with those. But, you know, there are low-risk drinking guidelines out there for men in particular. It's 15 drinks or less a week, and then in one day, 3 drinks, no more than that. But obviously, those aren't really followed most of the time in a university or college setting. So honestly, some ways to sort of curb that would be, you know, pacing yourself, having some water in between those drinks, or even making like a mocktail. Like, I know that's, again, for men, not exactly a part of
it's not exactly sexy.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's
not a part of our beer drinking culture. No. I think Canada's rated number one for consumption of beer in the world, but you know, it's hard to get away from those cultural factors. But you know what, our main message for those sorts of things are just try to drink less.
Yeah.
You know, not abstain, and you may have to for different health reasons, you know, not drink any alcohol, especially if you're on medications.
Yeah.
There's my disclaimer. But, you know, just drink less. Think about drinking less. And, you know, trying to make all these behaviors perfect is next to impossible, but just trying to make little improvements in each one makes a huge difference in reducing your risk. So try to drink less. If you can get to the low-risk drinking guidelines, fantastic, because then you significantly reduced your risk of a whole host of things, and especially cancers. But you know, and eat some more fruits and veggies. Mm-hmm. Be more active, you know, protect yourself more in the sun. It's about doing these little things and just improving all of those things a little bit at a time over a long period of time. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd make yourself crazy trying to live by, you know, the rules and trying to get to be the best and meet all the guidelines for every recommended health behavior.
Well, what is this? What's the term there? Moderation?
Everything in moderation.
Everything in moderation, yeah. Even moderation. So, again, these are all great pieces of advice, but if you're someone who's living in that, you know, impervious part of their life, I mean, I go back to when I was in my 20s, and I know Nick here is in his 20s, there was that part where you thought, who cares? You know, you could drink till you passed out, still get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to catch the bus to work and work your 12-hour shift, get off work, go home, get drunk again. You just do that for, you know, months and months, and there wasn't anybody I knew in my friend circle that wasn't able to do that.
And you know what, there's a lot of myths out there about these things too, like the liquor before beer, you're in the clear. That, you know, there's lots of things that health education wise we need to get better at clearing up what actually is fact versus fiction. And I know Kristen has some questions she's going to test, since we got 3 guys in the room here, to see your knowledge about some trivia and fact versus fiction about some of these healthy behaviors.
Well, you know, I want to get to those in a second, but I'm looking at this postcard you have here. It says chips, pretzels, and pizza aren't a food group. But you know what? In some schools, that is a food group, right? I mean, you know, we talked about education. You just mentioned education and proper healthy choices through education. But if we're not providing, it's one thing to talk about it, but if we're not actually providing that to our student body, like the kids who are eating crap. I watched the most recent film by Michael Moore, and he went to France, and he was in the class, in the school lunchroom with the kids. They don't have anything fried there. No, it's not like, you know, you're going to get pretzels, chips, and pizza at a lunch program in France, because they focus on healthy eating. And by doing that at such a young age, it actually promotes healthy development through adulthood, and it gets people, I mean, they have a healthier population as a result.
Mm-hmm. Right? And we got to think about what's affordable too, right? Because people will do what they can afford, and if the cheap, quick option is the unhealthy food, then we have to do something you know, systemic here that that makes the healthier option the easy option, the cheaper option, the accessible option for everybody, just those who can afford it.
Well, you mentioned affordability, but when we're talking about school budgets, for instance, I mean, a lot of it's not about affordability. It's about where we really want to put our money. We'd rather put our money into this than providing healthy food for our children. That's really the issue. It's not about affordability. It's about prioritizing what is affordable. And because, you know, having unhealthy students, having kids who are growing up with unhealthy lifestyles, in the long run, is far less affordable.
Exactly. It's going to cost us all. It's going to cost
us all. Realistically, it's short-sighted, you know, short-term gain for what is ultimately long-term pain. And because I think a lot of this has to do with education, not just at home, because a lot of kids don't spend a lot of time at home, right? They're in school all day long. After school, they could be at the daycare. They're only really home and awake for maybe a third of the time that they're awake in any given day. So they're not going to learn what they need to necessarily from their parents, because their parents are harried. Who knows what's going on with them? Maybe they're not even able to afford appropriate nutrition. The best access for that healthy nutrition is through things like school breakfast programs and lunch programs, which we are running here.
And you're right, and we're lucky that we do have, you know, community groups and volunteers and other institutions that are involved in that and making sure that, that kids get access to healthy food. Our school nutrition programs and breakfast clubs, that sort of thing, that are all over the county, they play a huge role in making sure that people have access to that for a very low or free cost. And critical in learning and development to make sure the kids have a full belly there to be able to be their best during the school day, but just to have access to cheap or free food there for sure. But, you know, and when it comes to advocates for it, though, you know, to making sure that those changes happen, that it's prioritized, think about who, you know, you're electing to student councils and who's your trustee, who are your politicians, who are the heads of these organizations, and try to get, you know, the most relevant pieces of information in front of them so they can make some responsible decisions that are long term and not, you know, within a 4-year
mandate
term. You know?
Absolutely. We're going to take our next break of the hour. When we come back, I know that Kristen has some questions for us, so we'll see if we can't get those answered. You're listening to The Drive Time, Canada's only holistic political chat. We're talking to representatives today at the Halliburton Kawartha Pine Ridge District Health Unit, and we are talking about men's health primarily. It is Movember, so if you are growing a mustache for the month, thank you very much. And if you're having an event, please contact the radio station. Let us know. We'll be happy to let the general public know about your upcoming event. We'll be back after this.
Hi, I'm Gwyn Sheltimer, co-host with Felicity Signal Reed of Word on the Hills. Do you like books and stories? Are you interested in the world of writing and publishing? Each week on Sunday at 1 p.m., we introduce you to the writing and publishing talent right here in Northumberland. Listen to writers read from their work and get a glimpse into their lives. Join Felicity and me on Sunday at 1 p.m. as we bring you Word on the Hills, right here on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
Northumberland Security has provided security solutions for over 38 years. From transponder car keys, alarm systems, surveillance systems, and handicapped door operators, they cover Pickering to Peterborough to Picton and everywhere in between. Northumberland Security prides itself on providing a comprehensive selection of personal and property protection at affordable prices with fast, courteous, and reliable 24-hour service. Located at 22 King Street West, Coburg. Call 905-372-8951 or visit Northumberland Security. The professional security team.
Keep your dial locked right here on 89.7, truly local radio.
Welcome back to the big broadcast. My guests in studios are Krista Chatterowski. I hope I pronounced that correctly. I'm sure by the end of the show I will have. Nick Ogden, no problem with that one. And Krista Skatovich. And they are all here to discuss men's health. And, of course, Rob Washburn is here for our weekly installment of Consider This Live. You are listening to The Drive Time, Canada's only holistic political chat. Kristen, you had some questions for us. We're going to see if we can answer.
So I'm going to start with a cancer-related question, just because that's what all of this is about, cancer prevention. All right, guys, you ready? Okay, so what do you think are the most common types of cancer that affect men in general? Had to guess.
Anyone can answer this?
Yes.
We don't have to ring the bell?
I would say prostate cancer.
Okay, Rob?
I'd go with prostate as well.
Copycat.
You know what? No, I'm going to say like probably lung cancer.
Wow. Okay. So, Nick and Rob, you guys are right with prostate cancer at 21%. But Dave, okay. So lung is 14%. That comes in third place. You know what's in the middle is colorectal.
There you go. Colorectal cancer.
Mm-hmm. So you guys did well so far.
I didn't want to just agree with the other two guys. That's the only reason why I went with something else.
Thanks for making it interesting.
We could have gone with the hat trick on that, perhaps.
Yeah, that was great, though. All right. So we already sort of like alluded to this, but okay. Myth or fact, frozen or canned fruits and vegetables are not as healthy for you as fresh ones. What do you think?
I'm going to say that's a fact. Because of all the preservatives in them, the salt, and a lot of the stuff.
I'm going to say no, that they are equivalent in most cases.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Rob again.
Okay, so Rob and Nick, right again. Sorry, Bam. Dave.
Wow, this is
great.
That should be on Jeopardy.
That's a fair myth, though. A lot of people think that because with the canned stuff especially, you really have to watch the sodium, but there often are low sodium options out there. But, you know, scientifically speaking, the frozen and canned stuff, the nutrients are actually the same as the fresh.
So, oh, I didn't realize you had frozen in there because I actually only use frozen vegetables.
Oh, well, perfect then. That's
the only vegetables I do use.
It's a lot cheaper.
For the most part, it's a lot cheaper, as you say, it keeps. And, you know, the fresh stuff has to be in season, so.
Yes, exactly. It's a great way to get
Dave, you had that in your back pocket the whole time.
You go look at my freezer.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's good. It's a good freezer to have. I'm stock full of that.
Okay. That dog food. Raw dog food for my dog.
Don't get those mixed up when you go to make your next
meal. No, you can't do that. That's why I don't cook in the dark.
That's always a good thing. Okay. All right. So smoking. Oh, hot topic here. So how many quit attempts do you think does the average person go through before permanently sticking to quitting smoking?
Five.
Okay.
More than five.
Is this Price is Right rules? Come on, guys.
Yeah.
I'd say probably like close to 10.
Wow. Okay, so it's actually 30 attempts on average.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Those people just don't want to quit.
Yeah, well, it's, you know what, you have to want to quit. That's the thing. And a lot of people, you know, it takes them a few times going through the change cycle to actually determine that, yes, I want to quit.
Well, it's like being an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. It's an
addiction.
Because here's the thing. Most people don't realize if they quit in smoking, because I have quit like three times, and of course I'm still smoking, sadly enough. But the reality is you have to convince yourself that you're not a smoker, first and foremost. But you also have to remind yourself that you are a smoker, like Alcoholics Anonymous, right? Like, hi, I'm Dave, I'm an alcoholic. Well, hi, I'm Dave, I smoke tobacco, or I use tobacco. The reality is it's sort of this double-edged thing that's going on in your head at the same time, because the only real way to convince yourself to not smoke anymore is to convince yourself that you're not a smoker.
Right.
But, you know, like being an alcoholic, once a smoker, always a smoker. Because, you know, I mean, my wife and I, we quit for 5 years, had a cigarette in Las Vegas. And next thing you know, we're coming home with cartons of smokes in a bag. So
it is
that easy. That's why, I mean, I knew people that quit smoking for 10 or 15 years, but they'd still hang out with the smokers because they still like the smell. They like to be around it, which is really weird. But that's the nature of tobacco.
And we're coming up on the time where everybody, time of year, where a lot of people will consider quitting January 1st.
Yeah.
And make sure to, you know, pay attention to local media. I'm sure you'll hear shout outs for it on the radio station too. And, you know, on the Healthy Unit website, why not? Because there'll be tons of opportunities to, for extra motivators, I guess, to consider quitting.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of contests that start in January and throughout the winter months that encourage people to quit. Leave the Pack Behind is one initiative that targets young guys to try to get them to quit. Anyway, check out the Health Unit website and some of the Cancer Society materials and whatnot for more coming on that as we enter 2017 and hit those New Year's resolutions.
Mm-hmm. It's around the corner. Next question.
Okay, so true or false, if you already have certain health problems, getting physical activity will just make them worse.
That's false.
False.
Yay. Oh, goodness. That's
three
so,
for three.
That is excellent because you're right. That is totally false. Everyone can benefit from getting physical activity. I mean, of course, if you do have a medical condition, you want to talk to your doctor or other healthcare provider to determine what's safe for you. I mean, because it's going to be different for everybody. Everyone has different goals, and that's okay. As long as you get, you know, 150 minutes a week and in at least increments of 10 minutes at a time of moderate to vigorous intensity.
Mm-hmm.
So moderate intensity, that would be if you can sort of hold a conversation still while you're doing the activity, but you can't sing your favorite song. Whereas vigorous is you can't really say more than a few words at a time. I know I'm doing a class at the Y right now, and it's like a high intensity interval training. And I'm sure, you know, it's funny watching, but I can barely breathe by the end
one more.
Of it. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Two more. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
that's the conversation.
Right. Yeah. So that's vigorous. It shouldn't hurt either. Like, you know, it's normal to feel a little bit sore afterwards, but it should not hurt you. So you want to be careful with that too.
And that goes for everybody and for all the listeners out there, because there are people out there who, like myself, have breathing problems, but you have to continue to be active. Otherwise, you know, when you aren't active, one of the things I had to actually take a physio course on maintaining an active lifestyle to some degree, even though you have difficulty breathing, because your body starts to get tight, your joints get tighter, and it becomes harder to do things like just walk a flight of stairs. So they get you to do things like, you know, push-ups on the wall, because, you know, even though you are getting older, you still have to do things for yourself, like bring groceries in from the car and stuff like that. And those are all things that involve physical activity. If you don't maintain that level of physicality, it's going to be more difficult for you.
And you bring up a good point, too, that just things like carrying groceries and going for a brisk walk or something, that all counts. Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's no threshold you have to, like, hit for what it is. Like, you don't have to go and do a boxing class or something. Like, I mean, if you want to, fabulous, that's great. But, you know, if it is your level to just go for a brisk walk after dinner, then, hey, that's, you know, that's excellent. It's different for everyone.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Next question.
Okay, next question. Here we go. True or false? You cannot get a sunburn in the winter.
That's false.
False.
Excellent. So, yes, that is definitely false. UV rays can reflect off of the snow. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people actually kind of confuse sunburns. They think it's like windburn or something. Actually, you know, I heard some people talking about that the other day, and I kind of wanted to be like, no, that's not great. But, like, I mean, it could be. But, yes, definitely sunburns are a thing in the winter. That's why it's so important to still continue to wear sunscreen in the winter. Mm-hmm. And you want to make sure you're applying it properly and the right amount. So you want to, like, if you were to put it on your whole body, you would have to put at least an ounce. So that's like about a shot glass size. But in the winter, you're covered up mostly with a jacket and hat and stuff. But so you're, for your face, you want to make sure it's at least covered and put it on 20 minutes before you go out. And if you're spending a lot of time outside, then every hour after you first apply it. So that's how you get the best effectiveness of your SPF rating.
There you go.
Still need it in the summer. Winter. Definitely need it in the summer.
Because, well, again, if you're working outside, there's still lots of people who work outside.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, and even if you're not working outside, if you're spending any time outside in the winter, you're still exposed to the sun.
Mm-hmm. And young guys who we're targeting with our Made Built to Last photo contest challenger, like we said, they're kind of the worst offenders for the sun safety habits. They're spending the most time, leisure time outdoors. They're not being protected. And if not sunscreen, you know, you're trying to find shade, you're using other protective, you know, hats, clothing to cover up, trying to stay out of the sun during, you know, peak hours around from 11 till 4-ish. And checking the UV index every day, listening to it on the radio. But lots of outdoor workers, male workers outside too, that need to take precautions. So it's a high risk age group for sun safety for sure. Mm-hmm.
So one of the things though that this sort of brings to mind is, you know, it's great that we take all these preventative measures, but what happens when we get sick? What sort of things are you finding in terms of access to healthcare is taking place for men in Ontario and in Canada?
Well, we know for sure that across the board, men in general have the most difficulty getting access to a primary healthcare provider. So that counts as a family physician or a nurse practitioner.
And that's single men, right?
You're talking about? Even married as well, and who have a partner. Like, it's, you know, it's across the board. It's like, I mean, the age group who does have the least access for men is age 20 to 34. So they have the hardest time getting a primary care provider. So, you know, and that's a big part of our campaign as well. Like, why we are at the Health Unit targeting
any,
that age group.
Any suggestion why that might be? I mean, because you'd think that's probably the least, that age group is least likely to need to see a physician if you base it on general health knowledge.
And so we have a stat to back this one up, but we can make pretty good assumptions that it has to do with, you know, that's a big transition period time for a lot of people during those years. Often you're moving away from home, maybe out of county, you know, somewhere new. Maybe you're in and out of school. Maybe you're starting family. It's a busy time, but it's also a transition time. So that's one likely factor. Just access to physicians and healthcare in general, the way our system works, is tricky for everybody. But unfortunately, men are at a bigger disadvantage, according to stats. And, you know, we have to rely on, you know, GPs or nurse practitioners sometimes as the gateway to get other services and screenings and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But we do take their opinions and health information seriously. We kind of, you know, we go to them as the go-to people for reliable health advice. And with the age of the internet, we all try to diagnose ourselves sometimes going online and figuring out what's going on. Maybe if you don't have access and quick access to a healthcare practitioner. But there's some things we got to be wary of when we're looking for that info. I know when we initially did some planning for this man-made built to last contact contest, we talked to a lot of young guys and said, where do you go get your health information? A lot of them said they rely on some of the motivators and some info from the women in their life. You know, their mothers, their girlfriends, their wives, you know, friends, whatnot. But lots of people still depend on all ages on their doctor or their nurse practitioner to give them the facts. If you can't access them and you're going online or trying to find it out yourself, there are some things to be wary of. And I know Kristen's got some tips about how to ensure the info you're getting is credible health information.
All right, well, we'll get to those tips in just a moment. We'll take our last break of the hour. When we come back, more of our conversation about men's health. It is Movember. For those of you that are growing a mustache, congratulations, and hopefully you'll be doing some great stuff, raising some money for the cause. I'm Dave Glover. We'll be right back.
Coming soon to a radio near you, it's Country Outlaws and Alternatives. Hi, this is your old pal Rusty, and I'll be the host of a weekly one-hour show featuring music that goes against the grain. Now, we're talking from old to new music with down-home roots by an eclectic group of misfits that know all about being cool. So bring out the rebel in you and join us for Country Outlaws and Alternatives, debuting Monday, November 28th at 9 p.m. right here on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
Is lunch ready?
I'm hungry and the pizza's still frozen. The oven's not working.
Well, did you turn it on?
Yes, and it's still not working. What do we do now?
Ed White Appliance Service? Cold pizza? Oh no! Yes, I can come to your home. Nah, no one likes frozen pizza. Yes, it is worth fixing.
Ed White Appliance Service, 51 Mill Street South in Port Hope. Call 905-885-7109.
Do you own a business and would like to promote it? Look no further than Northumberland 89.7. Call us at 905-372-2391 for more details.
Welcome back to the big broadcast. Again, our guests in the studio, we're talking about men's health today with Krista Skatovich, Nick Ogden, and Kristen Chedorowski. Monsters.
She, you got it right.
She wrote it phonetically for me, too, listeners. I'll tell you.
I did.
And also want to give a big shout out to you have to go to the Movember website for this one, though. It's Job B Mo Bro, Booze. Is that Bros?
Bros.
Job B Mo Bros.
J-O-P-B, Mo Bros, is our team at Loyalist College, and we'd really appreciate it if you came to our site and made a donation. We'd really encourage young people and give them a sign of support for their efforts. And while they're all struggling to grow mustaches this month, they're doing great work, and it'd be a nice acknowledgement.
There you go. J-O-P-B, Mo Bros, right there for Movember website. Check that out. Make a donation if you can. And now you had one more comment you wanted to make on what we were talking about in terms of accessing health for men.
Yeah. So there is a resource if you don't have a family doctor right now. It's called Healthcare Connect. It's done through the government of Ontario. And if you put that into Google, the first link should take you to the website. So, it takes your address and your name and age and tries to connect you with a healthcare provider who is accepting patients right now in your area. If you have questions before that can be set up, then which is likely the case, I have a few tips. So your first line of information should, like, on the internet, should probably be for a credible health organization. So anything backed by the Government of Canada or Government of Ontario is always a good bet. So something like Eat Right Ontario, that's our dietitian's website. Mm-hmm. And all tons of good information out there about food and nutrition. They got some physical activity stuff in there. It's fantastic. And then healthycanadians.gc.ca, that's another very credible resource there. So also, you're pretty safe with nonprofit organizations like Canadian Cancer Society or Heart and Stroke Foundation. So they support scientific research and they're, you know, out for your best interest. So that's always a good resource as well. And then, so just you always want to make sure to be mindful to make sure that information you're getting online from websites is evidence-based and scientifically sound. So, you know, stuff that's been backed from, you know, a research institution like a university. There's a lot of garbage out there from people who are trying to sell you something. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they'll say anything. And that's not to say that the information's wrong, but it's, you know, should take it with a grain of salt kind of thing. And just, you know, like if there's a celebrity doctor or something, you know, I'm sure we're all thinking of the same one.
Dr. Oz, for those of you that aren't willing to say it, I'm throwing it out there.
Nudge, nudge.
He's a shill. Okay. Just my opinion. That's why we have the disclaimer, kids.
Yeah. And I mean, like, it's, you know, it's also not targeted to you yourself. Feel like if you're going to get information from a doctor, you want it to be your doctor. Mm-hmm. Like, some general advice from a celebrity is definitely not going to be applicable to the whole population. So again, you should, you know, be going to something that's personalized for you. That's your healthiest. And you know what, any questions that you can't find online to be answered, then you could always just contact us at the health unit.
There you go.
Yeah.
And before we sign off here, I do have to give a plug because, you know, as we said, men's health needs a little bit more attention, a lot more attention, actually. Movember's one way that's bringing some attention to it. But the health unit, too, tries to bring focus by in our sexual health programming. We actually have men's sexual health clinics, so time when men only can make appointments and come in, get free and confidential STI testing, and speak with a nurse. You can make appointments, but walk-ins are also welcome. In our area, it's at the health unit office in Port Hope, the fourth Tuesday of each month from 5 to 7, all ages, but men only. So specifically targeted at men in our area to go, you know, get a checkup on your sexual health, talk to a nurse.
There you go. And if you have any other questions health related, you can contact the HKPR at 1-866-888-4577, the Halliburton Kawartha Pine Ridge District Health Unit. They're there for your health, not just their own, folks. We're going to take it out of here. I want to thank everybody for being here. Krista Skutovic, who is going to become a regular on this show, I'm telling you right now. Nick Ogden, thanks very much for coming by, student at Loyalist. And Kristen Chedorowski, she is also, you're studying nursing?
Yeah, I'm at Lakehead.
There you go. She's at Lakehead. I always wanted to go to Lakehead, actually. That's where I wanted to go and study political science. Thanks for tuning in, listeners. You've been listening to The Drive-By. The Drive-By, as my sister-in-law calls it, The Drive Time, Canada's only holistic political chat. Thanks to Rob Washburn for being here as well. We're going to leave you with a couple of seconds of Obey the Beard before we jump into Cedar Rail. Thanks, folks.
Mustache? No. Sideburns? No. Goatee? Maybe. Beard? Beard! Feel neglected, not doing too well with the ladies?
Well, I've got the solution for you!
Low self-esteem?
Grow a beard!
Afraid to follow your dreams?
Grow a beard!
Are you lonely and sad?
Grow a beard!
You wanna look good and plaid?
Grow a beard!
Are you working out?
Grow a beard!
Did your car break down?
Grow a beard!
Ice caps melting?
Grow a beard!
Are you stuck in the middle of nowhere and you need to make an important phone call but the battery's dead and you can't find an outlet to plug in your charger?